Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And I think you should call that number to join the club, or we'll hit you over the head with it. Oh, I'm in some kind of mood today. You know, maybe it's because once a year Venus sits on my Mars, and I do love it. It's actually like my Libra birthday today, and Venus is moving over my ascendant, and I'm going to call Molly Groger, and I feel changes in my appearance upon me. I love that woman. She's one of the nicest ladies you'll ever meet. You know, it's a joy to come in here, actually, every Wednesday and follow Molly Groger with the joy of eating. And if you want my advice on how to eat properly, you will listen to that show and follow her advice, because she is a very attractive woman, I'll tell you. And, oops, excuse me, a little feedback here. Tell her Farley sent you. Today we are talking about women, that's right, and we are going to try to do everything we can to understand women, which has been a lifelong quest for me, even though sometimes I felt like a failure and felt like giving up trying to figure them out. I never gave up. But we're going to focus today on looking at a woman's Mars and also at her moon in her chart to understand why she is the way she is. I really think that attitude and emotions and basic life force, or where they're coming from, is important in understanding them. We might throw in a little analysis of Venus and the ascendant if we have time. But I'll tell you something. Whenever I've ever analyzed a woman's chart, for whatever reason, if it's my mom, my sister, if it's my friends, relatives, girlfriends, ex-wife, whatever, I immediately refer to the Mars. I don't know. Some astrologers feel different, and they may disagree with me, but I think that women are more their Mars than any other planet. If you ask me what men were, I'd have to say men were probably more their moon. You know, in other words, if you really want to know where a guy is coming from or what he's like, then you'll focus on his moon, and that'll tell you what degree of baby he would be. But if you really want to know what a woman is like, knowing her Mars, what sign it's in, what house it's in, how it's aspected, will let you know about disposition. And I think that's critical, because I really think that some of us can handle women that have very intense dispositions, that are very extreme, that can be irritable or temperamental, and the rest of us run from that. You know, we've had it in our childhoods, we've had it with relationships, and we don't like that. So we are going to analyze the female disposition today, which I think is going to make a very interesting topic. And of course, some of you may run to your cassette decks and also try to record this show at the same time. Let's talk about women here today, understanding them, and they're one tough cupcake to understand, frankly. I'll tell you something, like I said before, whenever I want to understand a woman, I always look directly at her Mars. And I don't know what it is about the planet Mars in a female chart. You know, I don't understand whether it is the yang force or the yang factor, whereas Venus is the yin and the feminine force. Isn't it funny that the way I understand women is I look at their major yang factor, the Mars essence, because you know why? Because I want to understand what kind of man they are. Now, that might sound funny to you, because each one of us has a positive and a negative force in us. But the planet Mars will actually tell you exactly whether or not a woman is feminine, whether she's masculine, whether she's dominant or submissive, whether she's emotional or whether she's calm. And these are things that I need to know. You know, inquiring minds want to know here. Now, first of all, let's go over the signs of the zodiac, the 12 signs of the zodiac, to see which ones are yin and which ones are yang. Okay, now we'll start with Leo, just as a random start. Leo is a positive male planet, okay, a positive male sign. So a woman with Mars in Leo, okay, and we keep going down the road here, to Libra, which is also positive. So women with Mars in Libra or Leo, and we keep going to Sag, that's also a male sign. So Mars in Sag. And then Aquarius, Mars in Aquarius is a male sign. And then Aries is also a male sign. And then Gemini is also a male charged, positive charged energy. And then we're back to Leo again. So we find that the 6 masculine signs are women with Mars in Leo, Libra, Sag, Aquarius, Aries, or Gemini will be women that will automatically be more positively charged in their attitudes about life. And that means that there'll be a yang force, okay, or a masculine force driving their emotions and their ambitions. So we will find and we will notice that of this grouping, Mars in Leo, Mars in Libra, Mars in Sag, Mars in Aquarius, Mars in Aries, and Mars in Gemini, that you might get more of a high energy, dominating or paternal type force that drives the women that have Mars in these signs. A Mars in Leo is almost like a daddy. So when women have Mars in Leo, they may try to not only mother you, but father you. Mars in Libra women are women that seem to have an inner knowing as to how relationships work. And they're perfectionists. They want balance and perfection in that area. Otherwise, they could run. Mars in Sagittarius women are also women that are extremely independent and love to travel and love to be philosophical and sometimes have trouble hanging on to relationships because if they're not comfortable or having fun in them, they'll also bolt. Mars and Aquarius women are the most stubborn that you will meet, okay? And they are also highly intelligent and they have fixed values about how life and how relationships and love should be run. And if you don't live up to the values or expectations they have, they will also disappear. So we do found that out of this grouping, okay, out of the fixed grouping, I mean not the fixed, the positively charged Marses in Leo, Libra, Sag, and Aquarius, that Mars in Leo is too strong, Mars in Sag is too independent, Mars in Aquarius may be too smart, and of that grouping, Mars in Libra may be the best because even though it's in detriment, still these women will offer a sense of balance to relationships. Mars in Aries is another one. And this can be too childlike often and immature and over-enthusiastic, so they may be very extreme in their energy. And then Mars in Gemini may have a major need for psychological involvement in a relationship, so a need for constant sessions and rehashing. Now, I'm not putting down this grouping, but if you are a woman or you know a woman that has Mars in a positively charged sign, a masculine sign of Leo, Libra, Sag, Aquarius, Aries, and Gemini, be aware that they'll have a strong male side that could end up being competitive and could be more difficult or may not be as feminine as they could be unless they know this. Now let's take a look at the female, the negatively charged signs of Virgo, okay, of Scorpio, okay, of Capricorn, right, and then Pisces, and then Taurus, okay, and then Cancer, okay. Now, so women with Mars in the submissive signs of Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces, Taurus, and Cancer are people that would actually give in more, not be as competitive in the long run, and do whatever they can to try to make relationships work. Whereas the other grouping might be almost know-it-all-ish or too competitive. This grouping of Mars is would be a lot more submissive, especially if they're in love or care with somebody. Mars in Virgo serves when it loves. Mars in Scorpio also is a metamorphosis, which means they can have love as long as they adapt. The Mars in Capricorn, if they do have time for love, are very, very gentle and very, very easy or smooth as far as being relaxing and comfortable with men. And Mars in Pisces is almost too easy. they're the pushovers of the zodiac. So they're like, could be the most feminine next to Mars in Cancer, which are also very easy and smooth and emotional. So we might find a sexier grouping, or women that find it more important to act and be sexy in the negative charge group. Not to say that positive charge Marses aren't sexy, but you will find women that have a natural charisma with Mars in the negative because they have too much yin in their sexual factor. Okay, so Mars in Taurus is also there in that factor with Mars in Cancer. So we got Mars in Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces, Taurus, and Cancer as the negatively charged Marses. Now, let's take a look at each and every Mars through the 12 signs for women and analyze them to understand basic behavioral patterns that we may be dealing with in relationships. Then we'll include the house placement, and then we'll talk about aspects to understand the karma that we're dealing with in relationships with the men and women. Okay, let's take a look at the fire Marses first. Let's divide these up in fire, earth, air, and water, the four elements of the zodiac. So you met a woman, or you like someone that has Mars in Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius. Okay. Now let's forget about the charge, whether it's positive or negative, male or female, yin or yang. Now, because I've already discussed that. Let's talk about basic qualities here. Women with Mars in Aries are very attractive normally, or at least their body and face conscious. And because Aries is an appearance sign, then this is oftentimes a focus of what they want in a relationship. Looks. You know, like what we're trying to figure out here is what kind of men do women want to go after with their certain particular Mars, okay? And what is their personality type because of this Mars, okay? So if a woman has Mars in Aries, a focus on love, a bottom line for love here is going to be the look, okay, or the package. The appearance, so a lot of these people, I'm not going to say they're shallow, but they can be, you know, unless Mars is placed in an emotional or mental house, like the third house, which is mental, and the fourth house, which is emotional, and the eighth house is emotional, and the 12th house is emotional, and the sixth and the ninth house are also mental, you know, but unless it's placed in a house to counter that or to add to it, most Mars and Aries people in a basic nature are attracted to good-looking people, so they limit themselves here, right? And also, they try hard to work on their own appearances. And you'll find a lot of people with Mars and Aries, or Mars in the first house too, right, will be people that would want to change their appearance. With surgery, you know, they want to fix things that are not perfect, you know, facelifts and tucks and liposuction, whatever, and all kinds of skin and hair things can be done here with Mars in Aries of the first house. And also, we find a lot of energy here with the Mars in Aries, and a lot of enthusiasm, and sexually very strong. So we'll give them a 9 when it comes to being lovers, okay? That is Mars in the first house, our Mars in Aries. So no matter what sign your Mars is in, the number I give it today could change if you're in a house that is romantic or sensuous that counters that. If you're in a sign in a house with your Mars that is not romantic, in my opinion, doesn't mean you're not romantic because you might have something in your chart that can counter that. I'm just talking about basic Marses. Okay, Mars in Taurus is extremely affectionate, okay? Taurus is a very physical sign, and Mars in Taurus are the second house because Taurus is the energy that epitomizes money. Sometimes there is a root or a foundation here where these women are interested in successful men or financially secure men, or they're actually interested in getting money from this resource, relationships, which means that sometimes they may want to be taken care of. Make the perfect housewife here. Mars in Taurus also has lucrative, expensive tastes often, and is also, because it's so close to Aries, many times they are focused on a macho look or sometimes an attractive look. So appearance, once again, is a focus with Mars in Taurus. Taurus is a fixed Earth sign. They like to work hard to make money. They also like other people that work hard and make money, and this is attractive to them. And they also are stubborn, you know, so if you get a woman with Mars in the second house or in Taurus mad, then look out because she might belt you. This is a sign that can be physical. Mars in Aries or Taurus may strike. They could strike out. Not all of them, don't forget, but this is a basic astrology course on understanding women. Mars in Gemini, or Mars in the third house, is a very heavy placement. It's very intense. And unless I want you to know that if you meet a woman with Mars in Gemini or in the third house, be ready for the news and the gossip and also the report and a lot of questions, because this sign is so enthusiastic mentally that sometimes it's over-enthusiastic. So we do find Mars placed in the third or Mars in Gemini is too mental, and they get along best actually by listening, by absorbing, by observing, and also by being flexible and cooperative in a way that's not painful for them. Now, because Gemini is a mutable sign, whereas Aries is very enthusiastic and Taurus is stubborn, the Mars in Gemini may be confused if they're not comfortable. And if they're not comfortable, then you might have a problem, because trying to get a Mars in Gemini to be decisive could get painful and require psychology and therapy and all kinds of stuff there. Cancer, the next Mars, or Mars in the fourth house for a woman's chart, is very interesting. Mars is in fall in Cancer. It does its worst in that sign next to Libra. So, you know, if you like a woman with Mars in Cancer, or if you're basically compatible to these types because you're a man with Venus in Cancer, or because you have some Pisces or Scorpio in your chart to trine that, right, then good luck, because emotionally here we're dealing with too many emotions. We are dealing with a situation emotionally with Mars in Cancer that could fuel too much emotions into this individual. So whenever I meet somebody with Mars in Cancer, you have nothing to go on here emotionally, because they will actually pull from a wide angle of emotional potentials, okay, that are possible here. And this goes the same with Mars in the fourth house also. A person with Mars in the fourth house or in Cancer will have tremendous emotional needs, will want to mother and nurture and want to be mothered and nurtured, and will also should be pretty highly sexed there, so there's a big responsibility. I forgot to give romantic numbers to the other Marses. I'll give Mars in Taurus also a 9 romantically. Mars in Gemini, I'll give between a 5 and a 10, depending on their day and how they feel, okay? And Mars in Cancer also, we will give between a 2 and a 10, because they have a wide range of mood swings, depending on their day. Okay, now Mars in Leo is a real challenge. And if you are involved with a woman with Mars in Leo or Mars in the fifth house, be ready for a big challenge, because these people, first of all, they play hardball, and they're dealing with a person here that has dignity and pride as a factor. So you shouldn't really fall in love or play games with a woman with Mars in Leo romantically, because if you hurt her or leave her or reject her, she may never let go of you, because her dignity will prevent her from doing that. So if you like somebody with Mars in Leo, get ready to go to toe the line here, because I firmly believe that relationships are not over until both partners let go completely, which is tough for Mars in Leo or Mars in the fifth house. These women can be good lovers, so we'll give them between a 5 and a 10 also. And at the same time, well, actually, I'm not going to assign numbers, because everybody could be, depending where the Mars is, there could be all kinds of numbers here. But anyway, Mars in Leo is the most masculine of the Marses. I'm not saying that it's a gay Mars, not at all. I'm just saying it's a very healthy, romantic Mars on a heterosexual sense. But you will find dominant and bossy, managerial-type women here that will think they know how to run relationships, and that's where they get themselves in trouble, turn their mates off, end up getting rejected, and then have trouble processing it because their dignity won't allow them to let go. They are wonderful with children. They're wonderful if you want to have fun and be creative and laugh and have a good time and be dramatic and all that. But you don't want to make a Mars and Leo mad, because just like the Taurus, they will also belt you. They may also give you a little left hook there. Moving on to Mars in Virgo, we do find a very different energy as we get ready to cross into the higher six houses. The Virgo Mars is a very strange placement, because the focus of the life energy, instead of being romantic, can be more material and more work ethic, okay? Because Virgo is a very serious energy. It focuses on the health of the body and the service of the individual, you know. So unlike the other Marses that are very sexually focused, Mars in Virgo for a woman can offer problems or a need for expansion or evolution or therapy in the area of love. And that's why we find a lot of women with Mars in Virgo end up being bisexual or gay, I'd say about 40 or 50%. And the other ones only have happier sex lives because they either become, well, celibate, okay, which is easy for them, or they learn how to serve and take care of their lovers and also let go. You see, because a Mars in Virgo woman, if she gets just a tiny bit of religious training or motherly encouragement to be prudish, she'll be 10 times more prudish and more ethical than the other Marses in the zodiac. So when you have Mars in Virgo, you may be dealing with a whole file of tricks and memories concerning men and life and morals and old-fashioned existence. And frankly, unless that Mars is conjunct Pluto, it could be a very interesting relationship. Now, I have met women with Mars in Virgo that are very passionate, but at the same time, there's almost a kink involved or something very different or unusual involved in the way they get involved romantically. So, and there's too much worry, there's too much analysis, sometimes self-criticism and outward criticism when we deal with Mars in Virgo. Best thing for Mars in Virgo is when they are in love, when they know they're in love, finally they seem to let go of all that analysis. Okay, Mars in Libra, we've discussed a little bit. This is a relationship sign that is a little scary because Mars is in detriment. Women with Mars in Libra sometimes don't like to live without having some kind of relationship. So they've been known to overlap their relationships. As one is ending, get another one started, or get one started, or two started, or three started at once. These women are extremely relationship conscious with Mars in the seventh house or in Libra. And, you know, that's why they should learn to focus one at a time and process if things don't work for them. And, you know, when I talked about Mars in Virgo, I'm also talking about Mars in the sixth house too. Mars in the eighth house or in Scorpio is very intense and the most mysterious of all the Marses. And if you have a girlfriend or someone you like that has Mars in Scorpio, you have nothing to go on, and they will pull from a wide range of emotions, attitudes, stress, and problems from their childhood and from past experiences may come up. You may deal with an overwhelming wave of emotion and passion here, or an overwhelming wave of anger and hate and vengeance-ness and jealousy. So where they can be the best Mars in the zodiac, they can also be the worst. Okay, and that's why a lot of women, most of the women I know with Mars in Scorpio for that reason, are single, because they frighten men and they blow relationships away with their intensity and extremism. Okay? But if they learn to calm down and be mellow and stay confident and positive and more secure with themselves, they probably have whatever they want, because they can be such wonderful lovers for sure. Mars in Sagittarius is a very interesting aspect for Mars, because these women are players. They like to have fun, sometimes involve themselves in games, competitions, and sports. They like happy guys. They need confidence and optimism and laughter and comedy in their lives, and that's the kind of men they like. You might find them at the comedy store, or Igby's, or improv oftentimes, trying to get a few laughs. And they love to travel, and they love men that travel too. But like I say, they are a little insecure, because if things don't go well, oftentimes they bolt or claim a lot of space for Mars in Sag, okay, or in the ninth house. Mars in Aquarius women are the geniuses of the zodiac, and they're also focused on friendship. So if a woman has Mars in Aquarius or Mars in the 11th, what do you think they want to do with a guy? Well, first thing they want to do is make friends with him. Well, most guys don't have the patience for that. So women with Mars in Aquarius or the 11th house have a lot of problems with relationships for that reason, and that's why a lot of them become homosexuals or bisexuals as an alternative. And they are so strong and also masculine, most masculine next to Mars in Leo, that they do find it easy to play a role as a know-it-all or someone that thinks they know what's going on. Sexually, it's very strange. It goes from 0 to 10 for Mars in Aquarius, depending on their mood. And they may not require as much physical stimulation as the rest of us, because the Aquarian turn-on is mental. It's a mental turn-on, okay? And finally, Mars in Pisces. With Mars in Pisces, this is a very loving, tender, vulnerable, emotional Mars, said to be the pushover or the easiest Mars. And, you know, whereas Mars in Virgo is very ethical and prudent, Mars in Pisces is very loving and passionate. And sometimes they'll jump at the opportunity to make love with a man because they know it's going to happen, so why fight it? Very psychic. And also more prone to alcoholism and drugs or spirituality on the other end. Mars in Pisces of the 12th house is also a Mars of someone who operates on an interdimensional level. So they will be very different or usually very metaphysical in their approach to life. Now, when it comes to aspects, let me say this. If a woman has trines on her Mars, which she means she has energies in her chart that complement the element her Mars is in, then she's going to attract more men naturally, have less karma with men, and in the long run have a choice to either settle down with one or have a lot of fun with a lot. Okay, that's number one. You can have a trine on your Mars and a square on your Mars and an opposition on your Mars all at once, and then relationships may be a circus, because the trines will bring them in, the squares will make you uncomfortable with them, and the oppositions will blow them out. So women that have multi-aspects on their Marses, including trines, oppositions, and squares, may have been in this day and age with a lot of lovers, potentially. Okay? Number two, If a woman's Mars is afflicted and it has no trines on it, that means if the Mars has only squares and oppositions on it, there's a good chance that this individual was a man in a past life, quite a womanizer, in fact, has chosen to come back as a woman this lifetime to work off that karma and to see exactly what kind of man she was. So this is the woman that's always complaining that the relationships are never working, they're never right, the guys she attracts are too aggressive, they're weird, they reject her, they dump her. And what she's looking at is a reflection of what she was in a past life, okay? So if you're dating or married or going with a woman that has squares or oppositions on their Mars, either natal or transits, then be aware that emotionally these people are a lot more sensitive and a lot less calm, okay, than the women that have trines and sextiles. And you got it. A lot of women with trines and sextiles on their Mars or seventh house planets are already married or in happy relationships. Most of us single people are people that I'd identify as nomads, wanderers, that do have afflicted Marses if you're a woman and Venuses if you're a man with squares and oppositions. We don't have much patience, and that's why we bolt, and that's why we don't stick in relationships for long, okay? And there's a topic for you that's different, understanding women, a focus on Mars, and I hope you like that. And I'm Farley Malaris, in case you just tuned in. This is the Astrology Hour that's been on KFOX going on 6 years, and we are a public-supported radio show, thanks to the people of Southern California. And the fun thing about this show is that listening to a topic like that, gosh, if you had a charts of all the women you've known, or of yourself, if you are a woman, you might understand yourself a lot better, because I just gave the whole Southern California basin a reading on women, because everybody's got a Mars.